Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we thank you who make this all possible. And we ask that you bless this meeting today and that discernment and wisdom be granted to your people for the days to come, to overcome the old nasty flesh, and to walk in the Spirit. Amen. Okay, well, I kind of gave you a clue as to what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk on how death separates the fleshly from the spiritual. And, of course, there's more than one way to take this, but I'm going down one vein today, okay? And this first revelation we called Trump and the Death of Our Earthly Treasures. And this was given to Greg Gibbons on 4/6/21. He said, I had a dream, and in the first scene, I was in a hall. The hall, I believe, represents the world stage. Okay. He said, I was in a hall where I had organized and managed a function for an address given by Donald Trump. I was some kind of aide or associate where he had spoken. Well, I believe Greg here represents the Heavenly Father in this dream. We at UBM have been praying for Donald Trump, that the Lord would use him in the same way he used Cyrus to aid in the freedom of God's people, God's elect from Babylonish captivity, so that the house of God can be rebuilded in his kingdom. Amen. There was no audible speech in the dream, and I had no direct interaction with President Trump in the dream. Well, because our interactions have been in the spirit realm with prayer and spiritual warfare for his success, and will of God be carried out through President Trump, since Trump is a nominal Christian, he really doesn't have a close personal relationship with our Heavenly Father yet. Amen. The formal part of the function was over, and the people present were mingling and talking, and of course, some were talking with Mr. Trump. He was dressed in a dark blue or black overcoat, as he is often seen dressed in wintertime. Well, Trump's formal part of his function is seemingly over. In other words, his first term in office, but he's still hard at work behind the scenes, and from what we understand, he is still in control of the government and the military, and still the president of the United States. The winter overcoat could represent a timing of when he will publicly be in power again. Or it could represent this current time period where he's cloaked as a true leader of the free world, but still in communications with important world leaders to usher in the GCR, Nasara, Jisara, etc. Then news came to me that my eldest daughter had passed away. He said, I have two young adult children, both daughters. Sadly, she had not contact with me for 7 years now. Well, I believe his daughter's name means a hiding place, especially one in the ground for like ammunition or food or treasures, etc. The eldest daughter represents those who have been taken captive to Babylonish apostate church systems. They have buried their talent in the earth, so to speak, and stored up their treasures here on earth rather than in heaven. And some 7 is the number of completion and also the number of the church. There were 7 churches that were addressed in Revelation. The time of the Gentile church has come to its completion, and now the Lord will bring the lukewarm to their death. They will be forced to get off of the fence and go to their cross through much tribulation or lose their eternal souls. Either way, they will have to die. Greg said, I could not immediately get away to tend to the funeral arrangements as there were some administrative details and duties in regards to the meeting and the meeting hall that I had to go finalize. And in my stead, Donald Trump went to the house where my daughter's body had been laid out, and he kept vigil for her. Well, God has ordained Donald Trump to preside over the United States as the leader of the free world in order to bring to death the old order of church and government, as well as the old financial systems of the global economy. And right now, Donald Trump is keeping vigil for these dead governmental and economic systems until Greg, representing the Father, implements his plan for the end-time revival and tribulation to begin. And in the next scene, it was the next day, and I was in a hall again, presumably the same one, for my daughter's funeral. In the dream, I was at 3 points in the room. The first point was at the podium before the formalities began, and I was looking at the order of service on the podium. I was talking with a priest in a black robe. The whole function and all the details had been organized for me by Donald Trump, including the order of service, which is what I was looking at on the podium. I was aware of his part and all the things he did for me. And in the dream, Trump did many things for me, things that at a close, concerned and resourced friend could do. They were beyond all expectation, and he made a no show of it. Okay. Well, Donald Trump has been given a stewardship and also the resources by the Father to carry out his plan, and or as it said here, order of service, leading up to the tribulation period. And I'm not saying he ends it at the tribulation period, but that's where we are now, leading up to the tribulation period, right? Yeah, I believe he will be with us into the tribulation for a space, probably the first 3.5 years. The priest made it clear that while everything had been arranged, I could change anything I wanted, and that anyone I did not want to eulogize would not be getting up to speak. If this were a real situation, he says, at such a service for my daughter, there would be some people that I would not want to have the floor. Well, of course. Well, I would say these are the slanderers and the disinformation artists of the deep state mainstream media who spread their lies and poisonous ideas in order to destroy the memory of the deceased and soil their memory. And this has literally happened to all the lukewarm earth dwellers who are spiritually dead. Their minds have been poisoned against the Father and his true sons and daughters. And after this, I was aware that there was some mean talk by others that were present because I was in control of myself. I was somehow cold because I didn't appear to be upset. It's true that I am not overtly emotional, and if this situation were real, there would be people who would attempt to use the situation to disparage me. Okay. Well, many people are tempted to disparage the Father and be angry with Him because they don't understand His plan for the times ahead. And they will begin to curse Him and impute evil to Him and accuse Him of not caring about the judgments that will befall all the rebellious who dwell upon the earth. People who walk in the flesh, think in the flesh, act in the flesh, right? Well, in the dream, I was aware that I did feel pained inwardly and could feel a heaviness, particularly in the upper left part of my chest. Well, that's kind of right above where the heart is located, right? And he says, below my shoulder. Well, the Bible says that God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Ezekiel 33:11 says, say unto them, as I live, says the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. But turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? And he is saying that today with a pain in his heart, I'm sure. Lamentations 2:11 says, mine eyes do fail with tears. My heart is troubled. My liver is poured upon the earth because of the destruction of the daughter of my people, because the young children and the sucklings swoon in the streets of the city. Yep, God is pained for his children's pain, and he knows the only way is repentance and faith, right? In the second point in the dream, I was on the right side of the room, slightly around a corner. There were members of the UBM Fellowship standing in an arc around me. I could not identify anyone in particular. I remember noting that the group was not in a tight circle nor standing close. Yeah, that's because he's not a local here, right? But this may represent the Ark of Safety or the Rainbow Ark of Promise that we take refuge in from the storm that is coming. And when the Lord's judgments are unleashed upon the wicked and the unbelieving to make a final separation between the called and the elect, the teachings and the materials of UBM have given revelation and hope and understanding to many for these end times, so that we have a refuge in Christ. They teach us how to get into the refuge of Christ, right? Well, he goes on to say, there was no clarity in what was said, but the comments were empathetic, and affirming towards me. To my right was an older husband and wife who were both slim, meaning very little flesh left, right? And the husband reached out towards me, and we shook hands, not in greeting. They were already a part of the group, but in support for me and solidarity. I think those who have starved their flesh nature are able to impart wisdom and spiritual discernment to others for comfort in the times that we're seeing right now. Then at the third point in the dream, I had stepped out through some double glass doors onto a small landing that led to some steps and a walkway that ran beside the hall. The walkway was either covered or enclosed to protect from the weather, but it was outside and not like an indoor hallway. Well, this could be representing the straight and narrow path that protects us from the storms of life and the curse. Stay on the narrow path. You step out from under the blood, the devil is waiting, right? Just outside the doors, a man came to me from behind and to my right, wanting to connect with me and introduce himself for his benefit. For his benefit and not mine. I didn't catch his name. I shook his hand but he did not release mine, but held it up and looked closely at it and made a comment about the skin and softness of my hand. I did not know what happened next because that's where the dream ended. Well, the soft skin of the hands represents that as believers, we only do the works of Christ by resting in Him and His promises given to us in His Word. And we don't try to earn our salvation through our own efforts and man's works, which puts calluses on your hands, right? And we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but our warfare is with principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. And we will be able to minister the true gospel to others during the great revival that is coming, when many will come over to the right side from sitting on the fence. And they will, I believe, finally be impressed with our obedience to God's word and admire us enough to receive the truth of the narrow way. Yes, people of the world are looking for fruit. They've seen really bad fruit, and especially a lot of the leadership, and God is opening eyes. In real life, I am Australian and live in Australia, so I do not have a direct political or administrative governmental connection to Donald Trump's former position as President of the United States. But he and his position of power have been the subject of prayer for us at UBM. True. Here's a diagram of the room, as I understood it in the dream, and the three points where there was interaction. We'll put that in the text so you can look it over. Okay, something else. This is given to Claire Pinar in 4:5:21. And we called it "The Unsaved Spared from the Second Death." I dreamed Rion and I heard that a woman named Linda had died. In my dreams in the past, Linda has represented the worldly friends of the past who proclaim a new age self-God ideology. Well, this woman Linda represents, as we will see, those who will come out of the false religious systems of the factious, slanderous harlot and be saved at the last minute before they die physically. And the mainstream media, who is also slanderous in spreading disinformation and faction to the masses, will also apply this to. Okay. She had started a podcast, and on her third episode, she struggled to breathe and was choked to death. And Claire says, I believe this shows that these people will be choked in the coming days of revival. Well, I believe that this is because of the disinformation agents of the factious church and state. Linda represents these two factions and their slander and lies to the masses that will be choked by the coming blackout and the 10 days of darkness when the military takes over with their emergency broadcast system and declassification of the crimes of the left. The other side of the coin is that the crimes of the faction in the church will also be known, for God has said that there is nothing hidden that will not be revealed. As the faction in church and state is dying by the hand of God, some will repent when they see that they cannot stop their perversions from being revealed to the world. This causes fear in these people, like the fear of rejection. They're so afraid of this that in the government and in the church, these people are panicking and trying to lash out and trying to do things to save themselves. She said, Rion listened to the podcast first. It was called Nunu Mama. Nunu is a term of endearment for small children or cute things. Perhaps this podcast title means that the world is overly concerned with mothering the fleshly lusts and the perversion so common to the leftists in the church and the state. They are so concerned with materialistic aspects of life and broadcast it openly and feverishly. Their demons are always concerned with the destruction of truth. Essentially, they are born of the flesh and not of the spirit. Romans 8:23. So then, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. And 13, for if you live after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you received not the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Well, the mainstream media has a current agenda to push from the Biden administration concerning the global warming emergency and to distract from their evil, but no one but the crazies are listening. And the Nunu Mama podcast could represent this Save Mother Earth farce through the Green New Deal, which they're so fond of. But there are much more important things out there, so people aren't listening near as much as they used to. Glory be to God. Then I listened to the podcast and was mortified by the content. I cannot remember what shocked me as I listened, but I imagine it was in direct opposition to what is proclaimed in the most holy word of God. Then I was transported in the dream back to the moment when Linda choked and died. In that moment, I prayed for her and asked her to accept Jesus as her Savior. She was choking so terribly I could not hear a confession or an acknowledgement of Christ. But it is for God to hear. That's true. Then I was transported back to another scene in the dream where Rion and I were in a room that looked like a place where people eat and drink after a funeral has taken place. To my surprise, Linda walked in, and she was a little gray or pale, but still as sprightly, positive, happy, and pretty as ever. We chatted and hugged, and I said to her, "What will happen to Noah?" Noah is her 4-year-old child in the natural. And the name Noah here, by the way, means rest and comfort. But in this case, could she represent a false peace and safety that will be proclaimed by both the New World Order and the New Age and their false religions? I would say so. In Numbers chapter 27, Noah was one of the 5 daughters of Zelophehad, who died without leaving a male heir. This is a sign that Linda, in type, does not have the seed of the heir to the kingdom of heaven, which is Christ in us, the hope of glory. She evaded the question and then realized that she'd given her lesbian cousin custody of the child. Well, lesbians are ultimate Jezebels. They are rebellious to men's authority, and they reject and will not receive the seed of men. Spiritually speaking, this represents a barren, fruitless spirit that rejects the seed of Christ and his word. Okay. And she said, many women and men from my past life were in the dream, and I asked Linda, So, you're only back for one day for this? In other words, back from the dead, huh? And she nodded, and then she started heaving and crying and wailing. And I think that this probably means that many apostates will repent at the last minute when facing a physical and a spiritual death, and they realize that they have not borne any fruit of Christ in their lives in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. Yes, we've had dreams of certain people who fell into the faction, and they were dying, and they were crying out and in misery because they were facing this fact. I realized then that she was dying again. I got down on my knees and sat back. She was all alone, and everyone who professed love for her, had supported her in her fleshly life, didn't want to touch her. Well, that's right. You really don't have any friends when you're like that. It turns out in tribulations that they're really not your friend, right? Well, many will realize at the end of their physical lives that no one can help them except Jesus. And she really had no friends that would tell her about Jesus, right? That's a friend right there. Eternal life is more important than anything else, even relationships. Well, Revelation 21, 5 through 8 says, "And he that sitteth on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he saith, Write, for these words are faithful and true. Amen. And he said unto me, They are come to pass. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." But we have to do it in time, don't we? Yes. "He that overcometh shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But for the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the fornicators and the sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part shall be in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Yes, all of the liars. Yes. Some people think you can just take all this to heaven with you, just call it greasy grace, you know. But it's not going to happen. Grace delivers from sin when we see that faith in Jesus Christ is powerful. I let her lie on my lap, and Rion said, "Say this while you rub her back. God of heaven, God my creator, I trust you with my life." I said it about 3 or 4 times. As she died, her appearance changed and she became as a baby again on my lap. She was completely new and vulnerable like a newborn. And she said, "Thank you, Lord Jesus," twice, and then took her last breath. Hey, heaven ain't bad, especially when you're headed to hell, right? Yes, God does do that at the very end for some people because they truly do repent and invite the Lord to take over, right? She called him Lord. So God will be merciful to many and grant them a thief on the cross salvation experience before they enter eternity. That's true. I looked around and saw the lesbian cousin ignoring me, avoiding eye contact, checking with everyone about which school she should put Noah in, and seeming to side with those who were pro-vaccine. Yes, they do. Well, leftists, by the way, have no problems with the vaccine, and leftist Christians the same way. Okay? because they do not look into these things. They have a trust in an evil government, which is crazy. They don't have trust in God. And the ones with this Jezebel spirit are Antichrist, and they'll try to destroy the fruit of the repentant represented by Noah. I was shocked and saddened to see that Linda's fruit would be so passed along without care. I suggested that Rian and I take Noah and I would homeschool her. However, Rian was concerned about the spirits in Noah and did not think it was my responsibility. Well, we must be careful of the poisoned fruit of others, which is, you know, in the natural, it may not look like a good thing to do, but in the spiritual realm, there's a parable there, right? I saw one of Linda's old boyfriends there at the funeral service. He was the only one who looked broken and sad. And could this represent Jesus, our first love that is forsaken for the world and the love of the world? Revelation 2, 2 through 5 says this, I know thy works and thy toil and patience, and that thou canst not bear evil men, and didst try them that call themselves apostles, and they are not, and didst find them false, and thou hast patience, and didst bear for my name's sake, and hast not grown weary. But I have this against thee, that thou didst leave thy first love. Remember, therefore, whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Or else I come to thee, and will move thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. Well, in the dream, Rian and I tried to sing one of the songs God gave me recently at the funeral, but the lesbian cousin tried to add a verse to the end and changed the tune, and she ruined it. Yeah, how can I sing the songs of Zion in a foreign land, right? Well, Jezebel's entire agenda is to bring disrepute to the true God given authority in every situation and in every relationship, and to bring about the spiritual death of many, and they've been very successful. And here's another one that fits so well with this. And we called it Factious Leadership Dies in Darkness. This was given to Merlene Laughlin on 4/12/19. But it just fits so well, we thought we'd reuse it. I had a dream where I saw a man that used to be in our body, but turned to faction and spiritually died. Yes, we all know this person. The man looked like a factious leader we know. I saw his profile, and it was definitely his hairline. He wore no glasses now. He was laying down, and his eyes were closed, hands crossed at his waist. That's the position one would be placed in at death, right? And glasses are no longer needed for his bad spiritual sight, right? It's too late now. He was going through a tunnel, and I was watching him go through it. There wasn't the incredible light that I'd heard about. There was only a night light dimness that I saw. There was no bright light at the end of the tunnel as he was nearing the very end. And then I didn't see him anymore after that. I heard no noise, no swish, or noise of being in a vacuum As he traveled past me, I was watching him from the right side. Then the Lord showed me by letting me experience what it was like for the Christian to die and go to the Lord. But I knew I didn't actually die. I was going through a tunnel, and I saw the bright light at the end. I saw Judy, and she was at my head, walking with me, but on the outside of the tunnel. And she kept asking, "Well, what is it like? What is it like? You aren't in pain, are you?" Talking to me, Merlene. And then she says, "Talk to me, Merlene, excuse me." I couldn't respond to her, but I felt no pain. I had no knowledge of how I died. I was just taken, and then I woke up. And I believe this is probably symbolizing a good end for the righteous. Amen. And I received by faith at random for this dream, 1 Corinthians 5 and 13. But them that are without, God judges. Put away the wicked man from among yourselves. Well, this man is definitely without, and God will judge him. And he has only the hope of repentance by confession of his sins against so many people and God himself. But the dreams all seem to say he will not repent. However, God can change dreams, right? Since he is so full of hatred and unforgiveness and rebellion against the laws of man and God, all of his sins are held against him. And as Jesus pointed out, those who do not forgive are not forgiven, but instead they are turned over to the tormentors. Now, I have to say that you can be turned over to the tormentors here on this earth and also the afterlife, right? Amen. If you don't repent while they torment you on earth, you will definitely be ruled over by them in the afterlife. Luke 7 and 8, "For I also am a man, set under authority, having under myself soldiers. And I say to this one, go, and he goeth. And to the other, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." Well, she said this was spoken about Jesus, who has authority over all that are at death, to say whether people go into darkness or come to Jesus in the light. If one walks in darkness, they end up in darkness. If one walks in the light, they end up in the light. Amen. And Jesus is the light. Amen. Well, now, let me say that today we received a miracle sign this morning in our prayer meeting. We started our meeting this morning with Deb Horton's dream of a failed assassination. And she gave this, Jeremiah 23:17. "They say continually unto them that despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And unto every one that walketh in the stubbornness of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you." That's exactly what they do. You know, stubbornness is witchcraft. The wicked don't believe that they will die for their witchcraft. And she went on to say, "Thank you guys more than you know for your prayer and intercession. It was witchcraft." Well, she said that because I had prayed for her kidney stones, which were causing her much pain, and I rebuked the witchcraft coming from the factious leader, and of course those with him. I can't remember details from my dream, she said, last night, but there was a man trying to kill me and two other people who were with me, a man and a woman. Well, we already know the two that he most tries to kill are Eve and myself. And of course, he's tried to kill other people who have dreams that point out his evil, and so on. Well, they stopped him. That is, these two. They stopped him from killing the three of us by revealing something to him. Now, this is amazing. I mean, this was early this morning that we received this, and she didn't know anything about this particular revelation that we were going to share. They stopped him from killing the three of us by revealing something to him, written pages and a broadcast for him to watch on a computer screen. And, of course, we show on this broadcast in text and audio of the factious leader dying for his sins today. Not that it's going to happen today, but we're showing it today, right? And this series of dreams was planned a week ago because they all came to us and they all fit together. And now God sent these revelations to confirm them. Well, what he, that is the factious leader, saw changed his mind. But they couldn't save him because he was going to die by suicide. Well, that's clearly what happened to Judas. And he changed his mind, but he couldn't repent. And so it's the same with this guy. He's dying from his own works. All of the evil that he does, all breaking all of God's laws and man's laws, he's dying from his own works. He's committing suicide. And we ended our prayer meeting with another Deb, which was it just happened this way. It was not on a purpose at all. Deb Finsky, who spoke up with this dream. And she said, I saw a woman. A man came up to her hiding a gun. He shot four times at her, but the woman did not go down. Well, obviously, this is another assassination attempt that failed. The woman could be Deb or Eve, and or Eve, I should say. Let me say this, and we've talked about this a few times, but it's the truth, and the Lord has given this to us many times to show us what's about to happen. Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian leader, whom we're now calling Deep State, killed the king and all of his sons and the leadership of the apostates when they forsook the city of Jerusalem. You hear what I'm saying? The people were and will be freed of them, as the Lord has told us many times. The people will be set free. God knows how to do this. God has told us he's going to do this, not only in the faction in the church and in the state, but also in the worldly church. Well, and then this one came into our thoughts. One third of the faction returns. So you see, after the death of the old man in rule, the elect among the faction returns. And this was given to Michael Hare on 10/8/20. I dreamed that David and I were in a desert and were being chased by Arabs. I believe they're representing those who are not chosen. As we know, Israel is chosen. The desert represents being in the spiritual wilderness, walking by faith in the promises of God. And the word Arab means ambush. The factious are always trying to ambush the righteous. They lay traps, snares, as well as speak lies and slander to assassinate their character. We built a round sand hut for protection. David was in the hut, and I was outside, away from the hut, running zigzag patterns towards the hut as the Arabs were coming up on the far side of the hut from my position. Well, that's what you do when somebody's shooting at you, right? The round sand, we think, represents the hut, or represented by the hut, represents the seed of Abraham, whom, having the faith of Abraham, rest from their works and take refuge in Christ. God promised Abraham that he would make his descendants as the sand of the sea for multitudes. Hebrews 2 and 16, "For verily not to angels doth he give help, but he giveth help to the seed of Abraham." So the round shape represents infinity, having neither beginning nor end, which is like the life and nature of Jesus, right? And Jesus said, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." All right. And when I got to the hut, there was no entryway. So I quickly made an outline of a door and went inside the hut. Well, the door to refuge in Christ is a supernatural door, which is Christ himself. And we enter that doorway by faith. John 10, 7 through 9 says, "Jesus therefore said unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. And I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and go out and find pasture." So it is a supernatural door here, isn't it? The Arabs never fired a shot. They were on horses and camels. They dismounted and were standing or sitting around watching us. The thought I had while in the hut with David was, these walls cannot stop a rifle bullet. But this time they never fired a shot at us. There were probably 25 or 30 of them, but there could have been more. Well, the Lord has shown us that one-third of the faction will return. Zechariah 13, 7 through 9 says, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow, says the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, which they have done, and the sheep shall be scattered. And I will turn my hand upon the little ones. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, says the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die." That's the falling away, right? Into the faction and so on. And they're dead. They're dead to Christ. They can't hear Christ. They mouth his name sometimes, but they don't study the word anymore. It doesn't appeal to them, and the devils in them don't let them do it. So two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third part shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part into the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. And they shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, It is my people. And they shall say, The Lord is my God. Well, we know that the things that have been shall be. There's nothing new under the sun, as Solomon said, right? And the next thing I saw was David going out there and talking to the Arabs. My thought at the time was, why didn't they shoot him? Well, we've had dreams about them shooting at me, but the bullets seem to fall at the ground. Why didn't they shoot him? But they were apparently coming to some type of agreement or truce when I woke up. And I received by faith at random, Jeremiah 35:4. And I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hanan. Hanan means grace or gracious. So they're being brought under grace, right? The son of Igdaliah, the man of God. Igdaliah means the greatness of the Lord, which was by the chamber of the princes, which was above the chamber of Maseda, meaning work of the Lord, or Yahweh is written here. Son of Shalom, the keeper of the threshold. Shalom means perfect, agreeable, so on. So, after the factious leadership is removed by God, a third will be saved. And David also lined up three lines of his factious enemy on the ground. Two lines were killed, and the third served David. I heard that they had some wicked people watching the hanging of Hillary. And these people were very impressed and sang like birds, you know. And basically David did this, put all three lions on the ground. They killed two of the lions, and the third one was very impressed and served the Lord. Served David, it said. So that's interesting. So people who repent, as a third of them will do when they lose their evil leadership and the demons that drive them, they'll come back to the Lord. Praise be to God. We're so happy. Okay, this is anointing the bride and removing the leaven. Yes, and this was given to Marie Kelton, 3/9/21. She said, during the prayer meeting on Friday, 3/5, while we were praising the Lord, I saw the Holy Spirit come down as a dove and cover everyone as a white blanket. Then I saw what looked like a flower girl throwing flowers, and then I saw a bride walking down an aisle, and a few women behind her holding the train of her dress. Well, after the tares are separated from the righteous, the bride will, what, shine forth in the kingdom of the Father, quote unquote. Amen. The Lord is sanctifying a bride. That means getting rid of the sin and removing the sinners, who are a little leaven, leavening the whole lump, right? Well, during the prayer meeting on Monday 3/8, she says, I saw a big angel that was dressed like a Roman soldier with the shield. And then I saw the angel with another angel who was also dressed as a Roman soldier. And there was a big black figure who had shackles on his wrists in between them. It seemed like they were taking the black figure somewhere. Out, right? It was somewhere out of the building. Jesus was behind them, dressed as a king. So when the darkness is removed, the king will come in his bride. Well, anyone who is not really interested in deliverance from sin or just trying to fit in as they are will be removed by the angels. So we're not leavened by their spirits. Well, now let's look a little at a political parallel here. And this was called a casket hidden in the White House. And it's a word that was given through Timothy Dixon on 4/30/21. We edited it and made it a little more understandable, but we didn't change anything. In a dream, I saw a casket at the White House. It was set out for viewing on one side of the White House, like in a hallway, and someone was in the casket. As I walked inside, I looked down the hallway, and the casket lid was open, and it was black in a corner, or back in a corner, excuse me, out of view, so that no one could see it, even though it was open and ready for viewing. Well, our thought is that they have hidden a lot of death underneath the White House for years in their dumbs and their underground tunnel system, bunch of Satanists sacrificing children and women and so on and so forth, and now it's their turn. I knew that someone was in the casket, but I just didn't know who. And I started walking towards the casket, and I looked down inside and saw Mr. Joe Biden. In the dream, he was inside the casket, and he had passed away. Well, according to several reports, the real Joe Biden was sentenced and executed over a year ago, maybe over a year and a half ago. And this man is definitely different in appearance. And I think that they will soon remove an actor whom we were told is acting in his place. I knew in the dream he had passed away already for some time. That's true. And I knew, and I don't believe Timothy reads this stuff, and I do believe that this was, you know, from the Lord. And I knew that all of the news and everyone that possibly could was trying to lie and cover up his death because it came so suddenly. No one was ready for such a thing as this. He did die suddenly. Yeah. And believe it or not, both sides cover it up. Because the left, the factious left, know what would come out if this was discovered. And the right are happy not to rile up anybody until they're through doing what they want to do. So even though he was a counterfeit and everything else that you could think of, their plan had not been fulfilled with Mr. Biden. Well, and it appears that the deep state would love to replace him with Kamala. I began to look down the hall, and I saw Miss Kamala Harris. She began to run into different rooms. Well, a fast walk would be a better description. And she was asking people, "Where's Joe at?" and they kept giving her different excuses. And I was thinking, well, she must not know that he's passed away. And as I watched, she kept walking around in different places, and she could not find him. She walked all over different parts of the White House, looking and asking, "Where's Joe? Where is he at?" And everyone kept telling her something that would throw her off track. I knew in the dream, from what I'd just seen, that he had passed away already. He wasn't literally in the hallway in a casket, but the dream was letting me know by looking at the beginning that Mr. Biden had already passed away. And, of course, insiders have witnessed to this fact, and if you compare his face now with his face back then, you will see that they're stupid different people. Yeah. And the news started helping to cover things up, and a lot of them didn't even know it. But the highest up, very wealthy people knew about the passing of Mr. Biden. They kept trying to cover up everything and close up everything. The news was saying different stuff, and all the broadcasts was already pre-recorded, but it wasn't Mr. Biden. It looked like him, but it was all staged events. This is true. I saw as I walked a man walking outside and getting on the helicopter, though I knew that it was not Joe Biden. It looked like him from a distance, but it wasn't him. In my dream, I knew that this was staged. It was a lot of misinformation, and people began to panic. Well, there was a recent video going around of Biden that seemed to show that he was a CGI hologram because his hand passed through one of the news reporters' solid microphones in the video. Yeah. So, he goes on, I saw people on the news as they began to panic because of the money. There was a fear of losing the money, losing in trade because they had done everything they possibly could do, but somehow they knew that Donald Trump was still the president of the United States. Yes, and they do know that. And Joe and China was their last supporters. They're losing their support. It's dwindling fast. In my dream, this was all some kind of masking, just an enormous cover-up, because the rich were so afraid of losing their wealth and losing everything they've gotten. God didn't mean anything to them. America didn't mean anything to them. What meant something to them was their money and getting ahead, getting to be the top, on the top like emperors of a society. Yeah. Well, the elites have no allegiance to any country. They are internationalists and don't recognize borders over the sovereignty of any one nation. He went on to say, they began to panic, and I saw mass panic hit the United States. It started going abroad, and different ones who were high up were using these people. Well, these people being the panicked rioters who were also losing their support. And the people had no idea. I saw Senator Ted Cruz, and they were trying to use this man. They were trying to set him up to make him go along with some of the fraudulent and evil things taking place in the country. But yet his heart was battling it, and he was fighting against one side. Well, we know that many politicians are being blackmailed and warred against to coerce them into going along with the deep state agenda. I saw Miss Kamala Harris as she began to run. She began to realize as she walked around in different places she was not fooled. she began to realize something was very, very wrong. She began to notice, and I knew in the dream that she was not telling everything. She kept things to herself, but she knew that something was wrong and that they were not telling her everything. She knew that they were using her as well. Well, many of the deep state puppets will begin to recognize that they are considered expendable by the deep state. And once they are done being used by them, that they will also be exposed and killed. In other words, let them take the blame, right? And many who have already realized this have turned state's evidence and have told the white hats, as they call them, everything they know in order to lessen their own sentences or escape extermination by their evil masters. And in the church realm, the factious leaders will be outed by their own people, as the Lord has told us. Of course, they don't believe that, so I can say it. I'm not revealing anything to them. The money people, he went on to say, a handful of people who had, at all costs, tried to remove or cancel the movement that President Trump brought into America because it was draining these people of their wealth, and were trying to blackmail people in the United States to blackmail officials. I saw how, when Ms. Harris realized that something was very wrong, she began to poke around and she began to look and she began to see and get closer, and she realized then in the dream that Mr. Biden had passed away. Then she began to holler. She began to run through the courts, through the White House, through the cities, through the streets, hollering and screaming. She said, "You've run over me." She was hollering, mad and frustrated. It reminded me of a dream that I'd had a while back about her having knives in her back, and she began to throw the knives at the people inside the White House. Well, she may well turn on her deep state handlers in order to try to save her own skin. And same situation with the church faction, right? And Timothy went on to say, God's going to reverse this evil mess that's tried to take over. It's a big lie. It's a big fake. In this dream, I saw the news media started reversing their stories. I saw ABC stand up, and they started reversing the negative stuff that they were saying about President Trump. And they started saying, well, he won the election the whole time. Okay. Trying to save themselves, right? They started saying in the dream, we didn't realize that the elections were such a fraud. And they began to back up or backpedal and reverse their story. You suppose it's the same thing could happen to the faction in the church? Absolutely. And we know that the media will finally be made to start reporting the truth of what really happened in the 2020 elections. And Trump will be reinstated as President of the United States. In fact, some of them have started doing this. And because they know that they plan to take their job away and let the military run the media for a while. In the dream, the Lord then put President Trump back in office. Oh, there it is. It's going to come to pass. You can believe it. My prayer is that everyone prospers as he brings forth this revival through the land. I pray God blesses every one of you. Well, thank you, Timothy. We'll take that. Now, this fits in very good. I'm hoping to get through with it. We called it DNA, Good and Evil Seed, and it was given to us by Kenneth. Here below is an amazing testimony of a 16-year-old young lady from South Africa. It is an astonishing confirmation of the battle of good and evil and how it lives within us from birth. It's again a supernatural confirmation of the truths found in the Bible from Genesis through Revelation. It is a confirmation of the Daniel 2:43 problem where they mingle themselves with the seed of man. Glory to Jesus. I pray this both edifies and blesses you with the reality of how our science, indeed God's science, is found in our Holy Bible. Okay, DNA structure. A word from I Am to His true set-apart bride in these end times. And this was from July the 9th, 2013. And it was given through His beloved daughter, Sarah, who was 16 years old, on the 5th of July, 2013. Please note that this word from the mouth of Yahushua HaMashiach is not specific to South Africa only, but is for His set-apart bride collectively. Okay, I'm not pushing the holy name thing because I know what really happened, but God is weak to the weak, so just humble yourself to this and get the good out of it. There is a real good message here. Yeshua stood next to me, dressed in white light. He stretched out His pierced hand and said, "Come with me, my Sarah princess, my Deborah warrior." It was as if we were eagles flying over South Africa. He showed me different things in the country. I saw fires in many places. Yeshua smiled and said, "It's my fire. My spirit is fanning the flame in the hearts of those who choose to walk the road less traveled, and in those who choose to let go of the passions of the flesh. I am busy in this country you call home, my love. There are many things to come, as you know. I see a big statue of Nelson Mandela with a rainbow around it." And Yeshua looked at it and turned His face. "Sarah, look at the way people make an idol out of man. Repent thereof." Then He said, "The nation's pride will come to a fall. I saw the statue slowly diminishing on the inside until there was nothing left on the inside of the statue. It was standing still. I saw people crying. Lots of people stood in groups and cried, quote, tell those who so horribly and faithfully stand in the gap for this nation, pray and plead for this nation, that they will soon start to see the fruit of their supplication," unquote. And while He said that, I saw many people praying and repenting for the things in this country. Well, of course, this should be done in whatever nation you are. The fruit of that worldly nation will be the elect of God, right? Quote, "My love, remember I said in my book, I put before you light and darkness, blessing and curse, and you have the choice. Which one do you choose? You are between two kingdoms, my love. At the same time, I am busy. The wicked one is also busy. I am shining my glorious light through the words of my prophets and messengers, and those who give ear will receive blessing, the blessing of knowing the truth and having it make you free. I want to speak to you about what I am busy with so that my people can catch up with my heartbeat, so that they can dance in the rhythm of my ways, my truths, and my desires. I am busy gathering my bride into the ark where she will be safe. It's only those who have cleansed their DNA, those who have pure blood, that can enter. Sarah, tell my people to give attention to what I will tell you now. It's very important. It's a matter of purity and harlotry, salvation and deception, lukewarmness and fire. Give ear." And the next moment, it was as if I was inside a body and I see conception taking place. The sperm cell and the egg cell colliding, merging, and becoming a baby. I see the seed in very much detail. There were these little things like white vessels that looked like trees inside the seed. Well, I thought it was probably the family trees, our genetic inheritance from our parents in the world, right? At the same time, while I was looking at that, I also saw that the seed is like a book, and there are many, many words inside that very tiny seed. Yes, you must change the words in your book. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind with the Word of God. Okay. Words pass along to our physical seed, cursing or blessing, by our nature. And the seed of the spiritual man is like a book also, the Bible. Our meditation on the Word empowers and releases the spiritual man to control the physical man and the demons. Amen. Now here's Kenneth's comment. He said, the psalmist wrote, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, unformed. And in thy book all my members were written, which is in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Psalm 139:16. Yeshua started to speak to me about the DNA once again. My love, do you see? Look at it. It's beautiful. Out of these little tiny seeds, a human grows. Inside of these little seeds, I put everything for a baby to grow. It is perfect. It is very, very special to see Yeshua so excited about how perfect and amazing and awesome he made the human body, soul, and spirit. Yes, amen. Look inside the seed. Do you see the written things? It is a code. It's a DNA code. It's far above what any human can understand. That code, my love, determines who that baby will be. That code will form its character, personality, likes, and dislikes. It forms the body, and it forms the soul, but not the spirit. The spirit is born of spirit, my spirit. In your spirit, you inherit my DNA when you are saved. But this DNA, this seed and inheritance, is not saved yet. Sarah, inside of that seed is blessing and curse, sin and righteousness, as an inheritance from your fathers. Well, you know, for this reason, mad scientists want to recreate the DNA after their own liking, so that they can control people, right? By perverting their food, their water, the air, and by vaccines. This way they can create the body of the beast. Amen. He went on, this DNA is very, very important. Inside of the DNA code, there are supposed to be a key essentials so that your body and soul can function the way I purpose them to. These seeds in the DNA are love proteins. And when you are born, the seed will sprout if it is exposed to the right elements. The mother and father are to nurture, comfort, affirm, accept, and love this gift from me. And the result will be a gender identity and spiritual identity, a healthy and whole soul and body. But now the babies are being exposed to trauma, even at birth. With the way this precious child comes into this world, the children are vulnerable to whatever the parents expose them to, even in the womb, and it has a great effect on them. So, what's the moral of this story? Speak the blessing over the unborn, right? It is the parents' work to build the child's identity through teaching them to find their identity in me, but they are exposed to the trauma of rejection. That opens them up to demonic bondage. He goes on to say, the Lord says, this DNA speaks all the time. It speaks of every word written inside of it. You can hear it, and I can hear it too. You hear it in your mind every day. Sarah, your inherited DNA affects your soul and body in a great way, a great way. Let me explain to you how it affects you in a physical and mental way. Your soul area is your mind, your will, your emotions, and desires. The seed in your DNA grows like trees throughout your soul. For example, if you inherited a seed of rejection, that seed will carry the hurts and pain of the generations before you. Well, we have seen this to be true. Many don't know why they are the way they are, always lusting for acceptance, admiration from others, rejecting any correction or person that knows about them, etc. Yeah. He went on to say, that seed is in you, and when you experience any kind of trauma at birth as a child or any kind of trauma, the seed sprouts and a stronghold forms inside your soul. Yeah, any perceived threat to the ego puts these people in survival mode. Yeah. And they don't care what they do to others in many cases. He went on, a stronghold forms to suppress the pain. The stronghold is always rooted in pride, and fear keeps it in place. These trees are rebellion against me. This tree bears ungodly fruit in your soul, like perfectionism, judgment, fear, pride. Yeah. Well, rejection is bearing much fruit in these days to separate the tares from the wheat. But repentance is possible through faith in Jesus' sacrifice and the reprogramming of the word in your heart, right? These two seeds are manifested through one's actions and words. Matthew 13 and 37, I'll read through 43. And he answered and said, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world, and the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom, and the tares are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy that sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the world. The reapers are angels. As therefore the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. So what makes the difference between a tare and a wheat? I mean, well, the tares don't bear fruit, the wheat do. They accept the words of God's mouth to go in and reproduce the DNA of Jesus in a person. Others accept other thoughts. They accept rebellious thoughts against the covenant that God has given. So we have an opportunity, each one of us, to make a good turn here. You know, verse 41, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things wasn't in the original, all that cause stumbling, and them that do iniquity. That's what the angels are doing. We've been watching it for especially since 2011. Gathering out of his kingdom all that cause stumbling, and them that do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. There it is again. He that hath ears, let him hear. If you don't repent, change your mind and permit the Word of God to renew your mind, you have not a chance. the inheritance we receive from our parents is the fallen inheritance of Adam. He went on to say, because I love you so dearly and because you struggled so much as a little girl to understand why this father of love would create imperfect, disabled little babies, I will show you why this happens. This seed of rejection, for example, can affect your body in many ways. Sometimes the sickness manifests in a later stage because of trauma, and other times because of open doors in the mother and father. Because of generational curses, spirits latch onto the DNA and the baby can be born with a defect, a disease, or disabled. It is part of the curse that came upon man at the fall. However, a believing parent, I'm saying this now, this is my note, however, a believing parent sanctifies the child through faith, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 7, and can deliver the child from the curse of the defect and the disease. Sarah, there are many things I want to teach you about the DNA. My people have a lack of knowledge. I also want to teach you about the DNA structure. It is an order. There are two orders. The one comes out of hell, and the other out of who I am. Out of hell comes the order of Baal, the false Jesus. Do you realize that there are many false Jesuses out there? And man plays the harlot with it. Okay, so because the false Jesus doesn't demand holiness and righteousness and purity and truth. The false Jesus makes up doctrines so that you can live with these things. But you can't live with them. And I will call my order the order of I am. This is the structure in your DNA. Notice how hard the mad scientists are trying to change your DNA. This is just as they change the DNA of the things you eat and the air that you breathe. They are doing their best to pervert mankind. And it's working very well for some people because they don't value the Word of God above the ways of the world. And the Lord went on to say, inside the order of Baal is the structure, the nature, and the seed of Lucifer. Curse is a result of it. Most sicknesses are a result of it. Spiritual death is a result of it. Poverty is a result of it. And destruction is a result of it. I have spoken to you a lot about the pure bride and about what it means to be the pure bride. The pure bride has my DNA. She has my structure, my order, my nature, and my seed is in her. And that is because the pure bride loves the Word of God and wants to walk in the steps of Jesus. And they behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory, as from the Lord the Spirit. Amen. In other words, they are justified by faith. And because they're justified by faith, God imparts power to them to walk in holiness and righteousness. And this angers the apostates around them who do not want to walk that way. He goes on. Blessing is a result of it. Life is a result of it. Prosperity is a result of it. Holiness and righteousness are a result of it. That is, the Lord's DNA. My bride has, I am flowing through her veins. While the harlot bride, who has not cleansed her DNA, has hell operating through her, a mixed seed. My people are playing harlot because they have the order and the structure of Baal in them. This is why they are double-minded, and this is why they are still sick. Even though by my stripes you were healed, they have remained still sinful, unholy, and unrighteous, but they call themselves Christians. I tell you, the word Christian is, well, I will say, misused and is, as he said, reserved for those who are lukewarm. He's saying it's not a good thing. Okay. You are either my bride, holy, pure, and righteous, building your spirit house upon the rock of ages, living in my kingdom, or you are a Christian, lukewarm, so-called saved, but deceived, so-called good, but led astray without even knowing it. This Christian, and he puts quotation marks around it, is part of the harlot. She is, in fact, worse than the sinner because she is the same as the sinner in heart. She thinks that she is good. My people, if you want to go into the ark like Noah, you have to cleanse your DNA through applying my blood, through repentance, through petitioning in my heavenly courtroom. Remember, your spirit can be holy and righteous, and you can think you are on the right road because of it. But if you do not take the next step through cleansing your DNA and working on your soul dimension, you are divided within yourself. And of course, I've taught this many times, long before I ever read this. The fact is, a lot of people are born again in their spirit, but they refuse born again in their soul. In other words, they are not bearing the fruit. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions, your character, your nature, just as Jesus said here. And, of course, the Word of God changes us when we repent, which means change our mind. That's what repent means, change your mind. Stop thinking and believing this and acting on this. Start believing what the Word of God says and acting upon it. And this is the way to bring life to your DNA. Jesus' life to your DNA. If you do not take the next step through cleansing your DNA and working on your soul dimension, you are divided within yourself and in your spirit, even though your spirit is on fire, and in your soul cold, therefore you are mixed and lukewarm. My bride is not mixed. She is single-minded and in unity with me, one in soul and spirit. Yes. So even though your spirit may be right with God, wanting to go and walk in truth, your soul is drawn to the worldly. It's soulish, as they say. And if you follow after your soul, your DNA will be corrupted or stay corrupted and so on. So the bride is one with the word in her heart and obedience to it. This is it. Love to be with the Lord. Love to walk with the Lord. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Those words in your mind will affect your DNA. And the Lord said, I want my people to break down the altar, the order, and the structure of Baal in your blood, the DNA, that your forefathers have cast up, like Gideon had to break down the altar of Baal. Come out of her, my people, the Lord says. He wants us to come out from among them and be separate. Judges 6 and 25 speaks of, tear down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the wooden image that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on the top of this rock, laid in proper order. In other words, proper arrangement, you know, as the Lord spoke about, right? So, it's true. Our fathers have worshipped Baal. Almost everybody goes through some religious trap that is really just a stepping stone to gradually bring you out of the world. And some people get stuck there, and they never get renewed in their mind. You know, it's more important for you to go home and read the original teachers than to have some new teacher lead you in the wrong direction. Go back and read the Word of God. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You can trust those teachers. Right? I was petitioning and repenting for my DNA, and while I did that, I saw a vision inside of my body. I saw the many blood vessels, and Yeshua took me inside of my blood, where he showed me how my DNA looks in the spirit. I saw the structure of the DNA, and I saw two doors inside of my DNA, or blood. And there was a black door and a golden door. The golden door was closed, and the black door was open. And out of the black door, the DNA structure flowed. On the black door was written, Order of Baal, curse. And on the golden door was written, I am blessing, which is filled with the fullness of Abba's character, attributes, nature. In the name of I am is the fullness of who he is. Amen. There were things written on the black structure that flowed out of the black door. I recognized it as pride and rebellion against I am. Everything he stands for. The nature of HaSatan. So I started to pray for I am's light to shine in my DNA. And I just started to repent of generational sin, such as the Ruach HaKodesh revealed it to me. He went really deep, and I cried on for hours. While I was busy repenting, I saw the structure going back into the back door, the black door, like it was being reversed. I literally saw Yeshua inside of my blood. He closed the black door, and the structure disappeared. In other words, shattered the order of Baal and the curses, right? And that's what happens when you not only accept Jesus, as they say, but repent and obey Jesus and believe his word and let his nature come into you through his word, right? And she went on to say, it is as if the black door was a gateway of hell. Yes, it is. You are from beneath, he said to the leaders of their religious people. You are from beneath. I am from above. And Yeshua said, each and every human has these two doors in their blood. Hell operates through the black door, through pride, rebellion, and curses. It is his nature flowing out of it. While I am, and blessing flows through the way, the truth, and the life. So, Jesus comes through the spirit of man and Satan and his minions through the inherited flesh and its lusts. My people, you are in a DNA war. Awaken and see that the battle you are in is a blood battle. The enemy is out to defile your blood. Wow, that's dead on. Break down the order of Baal inside of you through repentance and petitioning. Go to the Lord as your Savior, folks. Repent and believe what He says. Are you a believer? By His stripes you were healed. What vaccine do you need when you believe God and renounce and rebuke the curse? You think salvation is from man or by man's works? He went on to say, your DNA is who you are. It is the core of you. I want who you are to be a vein, a vessel, for I am to flow through you and be an altar of worship. Singing, holy, set apart, holy, set apart, holy, set apart, holy, set apart. That's what holy means. Sanctified, set apart, apart from these unholy, right? And while he said that, the golden door flung open and a white structure flowed out with golden and silver writings on it. I am's character and nature was inside of it. Humility, holiness, this set apartness, love, gentleness, etc. Quote, Sarah, my love, this is the message for this hour. Teach my people how to sanctify their DNA because this is what my bride looks like. Unquote. I see what flows out of that door is his seed, his love and righteousness. If it is the black door, it is Satan's seed, pride and rebellion. Father's seed births purity and holiness, or set-apartness, and results in a set-apart virgin bride, whereas Satan's seed births pride, harlotry, idolatry. It is a mixed seed, and this makes you a harlot bride that can give birth to Nephilim babies. meaning dark spiritual giants, a mixture of flesh and demons, people who are big in the world because they are of the world and they are small before God, like famous false Christian leaders. Yeshua showed me that the written things on our DNA become what our mind meditates upon. In other words, we can meditate on flesh or spirit and bear the fruit thereof. Isaiah 26 and 3 says, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. I've seen people progress very fast in the kingdom when they had problems with their thoughts. Was by just putting on an MP3 player on their hip or whatever and sticking the earbuds in their ears and listening to the Bible. I saw people change very quickly over a matter of time because their mind was constantly taking in the seed of the Lord, the DNA of the Lord. And because he trusteth in thee, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Romans 12 and 2 says, Be not fashioned according to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. She went on to say, your mind literally records whatever is inside the DNA. For example, when there is generational racism seed in your DNA, you have a judgmental, prideful, racist stronghold in your mind. Of course, you don't acknowledge it as that because you inherit the seed from your fathers. It hides in you, and when trauma occurs, it explodes like a bomb in your soul. It's the same with homosexuality. If there is a seed of rejection to which a spirit latches, attacks, and breaks down your identity physically, and because there is no love inside of that seed, it can very easily manifest in one becoming homosexual. Yes, this is rampant among the factious and other forms of sexual sin. The homosexual spirit is the stronghold that the structure of your soul puts up to defend itself, because it comes out of a seed of rejection, out of the pits of hell. And we know many other spirits use the spirit of rejection as a doorkeeper to let them in, like rebellion, anger, frustration, domineering, Jezebel, witchcraft, faction, drunkenness, drug addiction, self-seeking, etc., etc., etc. We are in a battle, a spiritual battle that manifests in the natural, and the war is already won. That's the gospel. It's already won. It's not what you have to do, it's what you have to believe. If we would just start to apply the blood of the Lamb, we would start to taste victory and freedom. Our weapon is the blood of the Lamb, which carries Yeshua's DNA, because it is the fullness of I Am's love poured out for our salvation, redemption, deliverance, healing, freedom. So, in effect, we need new blood. The blood of Jesus. And who is Jesus? He is the Word of God. How can you become Christ in you, the hope of glory? By putting the Word of God in your heart and repenting, changing your mind. It is right. You and I are wrong. It is right. This is how we change our DNA into His likeness. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may be able to prove the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, right? So we have to repent. This is not something you do when you accept Jesus. That's the baloney of the church world. This is something you do every day. Repent so that you can be called righteous, like Noah was righteous in all his generations. We have another strong article about deliverance from ejection and its fear. That's the name of it on our website. It's very good. Remember, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. If you're having trouble with your mind flitting back and forth, and you want to say no, and it's not taking no for an answer, you know, try this. Get you an easy to understand Bible, and put it on the MP3 player, and stick it in your ears when you're doing things that don't need special attention. And don't waste any time in recording over your DNA with His, right? Romans 12 and 2. Don't be fashioned according to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Many people want to be transformed, but they won't use what they need to use to become transformed. By the renewing of your mind. That's what repentance means, by the way. Change your mind. Read the Bible so you know what you need to change your mind to. You've got the goal in sight. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, that you might walk it out. Jesus already paid the price. He poured out his blood. It was called reconciliation. And reconciliation means an exchange. It's an exchange of his blood for your blood, which is the blood of your parents. And by renewing your mind, as the Lord just said through this parable here, not so much a parable, really, by renewing your mind with the Word, you're changing your DNA. Life starts flowing into you. That golden life flows into you, because you respect the Word of God above the words in your heart and mind and the words of Satan who tempts and tests you. You can say no to Satan. Jesus kept slapping the devil with the Word of God. He didn't like it. He left. Try it. When he says one thing, you tell him what the Word says. Say, no, I don't accept that. He's trying to destroy your DNA so that you will walk as a beast on this earth. Well, Father, we ask that you give grace to everyone who's listening, that you bring to their remembrance all things that you have said unto them, speaking, of course, of the Word of God, that you bring that to remembrance in their mind to defend them against the wiles of Satan, who knows that if he can recreate the image of the beast in us, we will not be a threat to his kingdom, but instead we will be a part of his kingdom. We will be his helpers. Many people who proclaim to be Christian are his helpers. They are, in nature, antichrist, because they're anti-word. And if you point out the Word to them, they don't like correction. They say, we believe this. Well, what about this Word? We don't believe that. What are you saying? Can't you stop and think about what you're saying? Why do you not believe the Word of God? How can you call yourself a Christian? Right? They can't think right even. Can't reason right. This DNA. Because as soon as the DNA is totally perverted, the demons come in unopposed. Yeah. It's a sad, sad thing what we're seeing today. And so much of it is actually just like this revelation. It's rooted and grounded in rejection and fear of rejection. People are manipulated by the devil. They won't take any correction from Christians. They don't even like Christians. They become totally perverted. Their DNA is the DNA of Baal, a false Jesus. So, Father, we ask you and we praise you for bringing your people into this revelation. They get the same revelation right straight out of your Word, Lord. It's very clear. And thank you, Father, for your mercy and your grace towards us. And thank you for drawing us unto yourself. And, Lord, with everyone that will cry out to you today, Lord, we ask you to give grace unto them and to put a desire to read the Word, especially the New Testament, put a desire in their heart to love and search out you, Lord, to seek to have your words and your thoughts in them, to repent. It's just a basic word, but it means all of that. Repent. Change your mind. Believe what God says in His Word. That's what repent is. And yet nobody wants to sit and listen to your Word. It's not exciting, you know, like a lot of things that they do and waste their life and waste the very little precious time they have left to become sanctified and have the DNA of Jesus. The devil is so happy to distract us from the things that we really need to do. Father, help us and give us grace that we might value your word above all things, Lord. Not be caught up in the idols of what most of Christianity is caught up in. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for granting repentance to your people today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, I see judgment coming now. The people don't realize that the deep state is very angry and they want to wipe out every Christian on the face of the earth. And the Lord's going to let them do some of that. Not all of it, because, you know, I mean, obviously Christians is used in a very wrong manner, just as Jesus said. But there are Christians out there who seek after Him, who walk by faith. They're justified by their faith that Jesus took away their sins, and they're looking to find out what it is to repent and change the words in their mind. Amen. Thank you for your mercy and grace, Lord. We love you and we praise you. Thank you for this opportunity to come together and study these things, Lord. Amen. All right, saints, God bless you. We'll do it again sometime.